Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, and share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I am Porchelle Haynes. This is Kylie Haynes, and we are your worship leaders for this morning. Our acolytes today were Mallory Moore and Olivia Haynes, and our pianist is Melissa Ogden. If you could turn to page 143 for our praise song on Eagle's Wings, and we'll sing through that two times.
Call to worship. God is our refuge and our fortress.
In God we place our trust.
When we are weary,
God lifts us up on wings like eagles.
Come before the Lord with joy and longing.
God is our hope and our salvation.
Let us pray. Generous Spirit, you call us to share our riches with the poor and disadvantaged,
lest we follow self-interest or our ruin and destruction. Teach us to bestow your blessings on those in need, lest we be trapped by selfish desire. Set our hearts on the riches of good works rather than the allure of earthly treasures. Help us take hold of the life that really is life. Amen and amen.
Hymn number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and we'll have the children come up for children's time.
Well, already, haven't you? So that's awesome. Very, very glad you're here. What does it mean to you to be a leader? Anybody got any ideas what it means to be a leader? Who are some leaders in your life? Can you think of some leaders in your life? Okay. Who are they?
Parents.
Parents, yep, for sure.
Coaches.
What's that, honey? You're right. I just can't hear you. Oh, shy she is. Are our teachers our leaders? Is that what she said? Are our teachers our leaders? They are. Any others that you can think of?
Big sisters.
Big sisters? Yes, absolutely. They absolutely are. Anybody else? Leaders are important in our lives because they set an example, don't they? And even ahead of our teachers, we have principals and we have, you know, we have all kinds of leadership staff, even above the teachers. So when we're in those positions, I think you're all leaders. I really do. No matter what your title you might have, it's not about having a title, is it? It's about being a good example for other people, being encouragers for other people, being strong, which you all are, and setting good moral standards and good ideals, I'm sure, in your classrooms and in the halls of your school. And whether it be on the track field, the volleyball court, or wherever you find yourself, or a football field, or whatever sport you're involved in, whatever extra activities, maybe it's in band, wherever, whatever you're involved with, you have opportunities to be leaders just by the way you act. When someone is having a bad day, when somebody's struggling, when somebody, maybe it's just, they're just off kilter for some reason. And we all have those days, don't we? I remember when I was in band many years ago, and one of the girls that sat just down the row from me, our teacher wasn't very happy with us for some reason. I can't remember. He had multiple reasons not to be happy with us. But he wasn't happy on that particular day. And right in the middle of his little talk at us, she stood up and played the scale up and down and then sat down. And I thought, well, what I thought was, we're all going to die right now. But we didn't. And later I found out that she had a little health crisis going on, and that I felt so bad for her, because our first instinct sometimes is, how's that going to affect me? But what I should have been thinking is, what's going on with her? And so think about that when you're going through your school day, that sometimes when somebody's acting out or doing something out of character, that maybe something else is going on in their life. And you as leaders can be the one that goes over and gives them an encouraging word or a pat on the back. I don't know if you're allowed to give a hug or not, but if it's a close friend, you might be able to. But because you're leaders, you can be that person that says something is out of order today, and this person needs me. This person needs the Lord to give them an embrace and something positive in their day and in their life. And sometimes that's all that it takes to turn things around. So what are some qualities that you think a leader would have, besides maybe what I've already mentioned? What are some qualities that a leader might have? What's that?
Responsibility.
I still can't. I'm sorry.
Responsibility.
Responsibility, absolutely. Yes. Yes, teachers. Teachers are responsible for being up there in front of everybody, aren't they? They're responsible for standing there and for giving you some encouragement. Yes.
Confidence.
What's that?
Confidence.
Absolutely. You have to have some confidence. Because usually, I know they give you homework, but they've also done their homework ahead of time. They know exactly what they need to teach you about and how they want to go about doing that. So yes, you have to have confidence that you can present. I have some teachers in my congregation, and I have some here too, I know. But in KPAC, and they feel a heavy responsibility to teach you what they know so that you can be successful. And I know that teachers beat themselves up sometimes. If everybody doesn't do well on a test, that everybody fails that test, then they think, what did I do wrong that I didn't communicate right? They don't necessarily beat up on you guys, but they beat up on themselves by saying to themselves, how can I do this different? And how can I present this so that they can understand better? And so, yes, you have to have confidence that you can get your message across, because they want you to grow up to be the best people that you can be. And we're still learning at my age. We're still learning every single day new things that we didn't know. So as each of you go about your week, know that you are leaders in whatever you're doing, whether it's in the classroom or in your sports events or any extracurricular activities that you have. You are leaders, and you are successful, and you are confident. Go forth with confidence that you are able to encourage people and be that example for them. Let's pray for just a minute. Thank you, Lord, for these fine examples of our growing community and our growing in you, Lord, as we go about our day, every day, whether we're in school or whether wherever we're at. Be with these that are here. Be with those, Lord, in our world. Keep them safe. Keep them in your care. And keep them learning and growing as leaders in your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, kids. Thank you.
Probably wait for the kids to sit down. If you want to turn to, in your Bibles, the Old Testament reading, Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 through 6, and verses 14 through 16.
Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. May God add His blessings upon the reading of His word.
And now we have a special number from our choir, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Our New Testament reading, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, is from Luke. And we're going to go to the 16th chapter of Luke in the New Testament, verses 19 through 31. Give you a minute to find that. Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Well, I kind of wanted to talk to the kids about this morning, but I thought if I do that, then I don't need to do my sermon later because I'll be giving away everything we're going to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about eagles today. We're going to talk about why they are the majestic birds that they are and why there can be examples of us, to us, I should say, of our Father's great love and protection, and of some leadership qualities that I think we could take hold of and use in our own lives. And as we talked with the young people this morning, they are all leaders, as are all of you in your community and in your workplaces, and even from your homes, you are leaders. So, like I said, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about eagles this morning. I'm going to give you some facts about them that many of you are probably well-versed in, and some of you it might be some new things. I am always learning new things. Eagles use their wings to protect their young from predators. Did you know that? I think most of us knew that. And harsh weather conditions. I'm going to give you a couple of key points about eagles and how they use those great big wings to safeguard their babies. First of all, temperature regulation. Eagles cover their chicks with their wings to keep them warm and at the right temperature that they need for development. Have any of you seen an eagle that isn't in a cage or isn't in a zoo? Have any of you seen them in the wild? They're getting more prevalent, are they not? I think I went through most my whole life without seeing one in the wild until the last several years. And occasionally when we're on our trip between KPAC and Yale, there's a couple of places that we always look because they like to hang out not too far away from home, really. But it's just so cool to see them wherever they are and how they do keep their children warm under their wingspan and safe. They are amazing predators. They hunt all the time. And so they understand what it means to need that shelter and protection under those wings. Have you ever had an opportunity that you took shelter under God's wing when you were going through a tough time or a tough day or in tough experiences? I always think it's a comforting thought to think how awesome it is to be under the shelter of God's protective wing and how he comforts us and warms us and protects us, because those wings act as a shield against predators and any other threats, including weather. I know that they use their wings to provide shelter from wind and rain and excessive sun. And I don't know, I've on occasion seen pictures of eagles in magazines and things where they're kind of hunkered down, their heads are bent over, and they could be completely covered in snow. But they are protecting what's under those wings. And it didn't matter what the climate was or how much snow fell, but they were protecting what was under their wings. Those wings not only provide shelter, but they also, it's a time where the parent can bond with the littles or those that are under the wings. It's a bonding time. It allows for the offspring. It's vital for them to be able to grow, and it's vital that they be at the right temperature for that growth. And it reminds me of how we need that time, that special personal time with the Lord, for that growth to happen for us too. That time where we are so close to the Lord that we can't help but hear his voice and his word and be encouraged by that. Did you know that eagles fly alone in high altitudes? Eagles soar high above the clouds, higher than any other bird. They don't stay below the clouds with the doves or the pigeons. As a leader, you also must be willing to be different and stand alone in situations that you find yourselves in. You have to be willing to sacrifice being popular a lot of times for the sake of what you know is right. You have to be willing to stand alone for your vision and your convictions, even if you feel like you're the Lone Ranger in that situation. Every single leader we celebrate today was someone who decided that they were going to have a vision for something that was better for mostly not only themselves, but for other people around them, for a community or a workplace or even a country. They decided to be different, even to go against the tide. I think way back to maybe like Abraham Lincoln and you know, all that he stood for, and how hard it must have been, because he had a lot of adverse reactions to getting rid of the slavery and all that he stood for. And many other of our leaders, even in our schools, that stood for things. I remember one year when I don't know if it was because of a millage not passing or what, but they were going to take the sports away from the school for that year because they didn't have the funding. And I remember a girl in my class, and you know, I have to think that her family wasn't real well-to-do. I think they were just getting by. But she came up as a leader And she had an idea that could raise enough money that we could get our sports program back. And she carried out that. She didn't just have the idea and say that would be a nice thing if we could do it. She carried out the plans for that. And we were probably juniors in high school. And raised enough money that we got our sports program back. And to me, that was amazing because many people didn't take the time to hang out with this particular girl. They didn't take the time to get to know her really well and how awesome she really was. And here she took just a vision that she had and made it play out so that it was not just to the benefit of her because she probably loved sports, but because she knew everybody enjoyed it, and she did that to help out in her community. So that strong vision made a huge difference for our school system at that time. A strong vision is built from the sense of purpose, a need you strongly want to see met, a problem you strongly want to see solved, or the reality that you feel obligated to create this vision and bring it to fruition. The desire must then be translated into this mental picture, and then you drive towards that goal. There's another quality. As a leader, you shouldn't always rely on the way things have always been done. Even though, you know, I'm sure over the years I've heard so many stories of different hugely successful projects here. I hear them all the time in CAPEC. We used to do this and how amazing it was. And I've had the blessing of living through a lot of that with them. Some amazing things. And all of a sudden they kind of, maybe that after 10 or 15 years kind of faded. Fewer people were coming, and we didn't have all the same kids because they graduated and went to college, and things changed and transitioned, and people say, if we could only do what we did before. But sometimes we have to come up with new ideas, don't we? New and fresh ideas, new and fresh ways of doing things. Not that the old ways were bad, but sometimes I think God asks us to step up and put fresh new spin on things and listen to the ideas and thoughts of some other people. And even, you know, we appreciate our young people anytime they want to come to any of our board meetings and see what it's like, the structure of the church, and any ideas they might have in making things new and fresh and recreating old moments maybe, or creating fresh times and experiences always are welcome for these churches and for ourselves to grow and to have new experiences. We shouldn't always jump on trends, but sometimes we're the ones that create trends, aren't we? If people are to follow, then there must be something around you that is making them want to be there and that is helping them stay around you. And so you don't know who it is that's going to come up with these, with an idea for growth, for spiritual growth, and to help us all along our journey. Something I did not know either, and going back to the picture that I said I've seen of eagles with all this snow caked on top of them, still protecting their young under their wings. Eagles don't run away from storms. Eagles love the storm. Unlike other birds that hide or get destroyed by storms, eagles stay strong and soar above them. As a leader, difficult times come, but we can't let them destroy us. And eagles know, I think, that it's for a time, and those times pass. and then we need to flourish and stay strong and move ahead. And a quote that I read that I want to share with you this morning, I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but your faith is only as strong as the test that it survives. Think about that for a minute. Your faith is as strong as the test that it survives. There's not a person in this room, I don't believe, that hasn't had a test. And you have come through those tests stronger and braver with wisdom. And we honor all of you that have persevered through many, many, many violent storms. But eagles don't mind the storm because they know that it will pass. And we know when we have our Lord with us that he will help us walk through that storm. He will help us just like the eagle. He will protect us under the shelter of his wings. You might want to know that being a child of God and walking in every one of his ways doesn't exempt you from a crisis either. In fact, Jesus promises that in this world you will have trouble. There's going to be times that you struggle. And that's why we stay together and stay strong, right? So that we help each other through those tough times. Because we all face them. Jesus promised that in this world you will have troubles. It's a promise, but this is not to discourage you. It's to get you prepared and help you to be strong in any endeavor that you might face. To rise above the storms by building up your faith, by engaging this wisdom that he's giving you so you have it during times of crisis. Also, the next thing, number five, is the eagle tests before it trusts. Eagles don't just soar because they have wings. They soar because they've learned to use the winds to their advantage. What lesson can we learn from that today? They used their circumstances to help them soar even higher. Just as the example of that young lady in my class that helped. And I know sports seems like just something extra and something extra to do, but to some, that's kind of a lifeline. And it's important. It's important. It builds character. It helps with discipline. It helps you hone a skill. There's just so many attributes. It's not just a fun thing to do. We learn from those things as well. And so we know that eagles don't just soar because they have wings. They learn to take advantage of the situation. And they test the direction of the winds, and they steer with the wind to make them soar even higher. As a leader, you have to understand times and seasons. You have to understand that not every open door is right for you. You have to be savvy to know what, who, where to invest your energy and resources. You don't just act because of impulse. Instead, you look at things thoughtfully and carefully. Although you at times have to take risks, you should only take calculated risks. Your faith must be built on a substance, not emptiness, as it tells us in Hebrews 11:1. Sixth, eagles invest in training others, as we talked about also indirectly in our children's time today. When we invest in each other, we're investing in the whole of the group, aren't we? We're investing in the project at hand, and not just ourselves, but we collectively are investing in each other. I didn't know this about eagles. I did know that they're involved in the training process of their young ones. We know that birds typically do. After some time, after these eaglets are born, the mother takes them out of the nest and throws them high into the sky and leaves them to struggle to fly. You hear of people throwing children in the pool to learn to swim. That doesn't always work, I'm going to tell you. I'm here to tell you that today. But in this case, she throws this small bird into the sky so that it will learn to fly. And if that eaglet wants to fall, the mother catches it and throws it up again until they understand how to fly. That's interesting, isn't it? Have you ever thought that the Lord has called you to do something and then thought, oh no, I can't do that? And then he keeps nudging you and telling you again over and over in your mind. And he keeps presenting the opportunity. And sometimes we keep turning away and turning away until eventually we learn, this is what God wants us to do. This is what God wants me to do. This is what he needs me to do. Like this mother eagle. She knows that baby is not going to survive if it can't fly. And the Lord wants us to fly. He doesn't want us to just fly. He wants us to soar above all the other eagles. And he wants us to be successful. True leaders mentor other leaders. They understand that the success of their leadership is dependent on how successful their successor is. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, my teacher in CAPEC said, you know, if my kids all fail the test, I know I did something wrong because I didn't get the point across to them somehow. And I need to start from scratch and I need to find a way to make that happen. So if that eaglet wants to fall, the mama catches and throws it back up again. And lastly, eagles rejuvenate. The last principle of leadership we can learn from this eagle is that eagles rejuvenate themselves. After flying for a period of time, the wings of the eagle begin to get weak, as you can only imagine. And the eagle plucks out those feathers and allows new ones to grow in their place. I did not know that. Leaders might have to do similar. Jesus Christ, we know, is the greatest leader of all. Separated from himself, from his disciples, many times to commune with God by himself. It's a form of rejuvenation. Sometimes we alone have to get under the shelter of God's wing, so that we can rejuvenate ourselves and have a time of rest. Communing with God can be a form of rejuvenation for sure. And some of those ideas of things that worked in years past that maybe we need to tweak and work on to bring back, or brand new ideas, no matter what it is. Sometimes there has to be a rest period as well. And we have been told that as a church through some of the struggles that we have had. Every church has them. I don't care what denomination, I don't care where they're located, I don't care where they are. We have challenges that force us to take a good look and decide what our vision is, because every one of you are leaders. Folks that are listening here today on the radio, you are leaders because you have Christ in your heart. And Christ is calling you and calling you and teaching you and showing you that through your prayers and through your support, through your encouragement, that we will all persevere and we will all not only thrive, not only fly, but we will soar, and we will soar together, as I've seen so much of that over this past year, how we're doing amazing things, reaching out in amazing ways, making improvements here and there and tweaking things here and there for the collective good of all. Today, if you need the shelter under God's wing, I encourage you to take that shelter under God's wing. And if you're ready to fly and soar today, then I encourage you to do that. And when you're soaring, remember that people are watching, and they're watching for your example, and they want to be just like you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our example, for sheltering us when we need sheltering, and for pushing us on when we need a little push on forward, Lord. Thank you. And now, as we continue our worship, we just ask that you continue to walk with us, guide us, and bless us with your presence, with your words of wisdom, and with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If we can have our ushers come forward, we'll have our morning tithes and offerings. Loving God, you protect us from harm and shelter us in your loving arms. Just as you deliver us from evil, may these offerings lead others to find the hope of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 571, Go Make of All Disciples. 571. Our benediction is responsive this morning. Dwell in the shelter of the Most High.
In the shadow of the Almighty, we rest secure.
Fly above the storm upon the wings of God's love.
In the unapproachable light of the Lamb of God, we do not fear the shadow of death.
With the blessing of our hope and our salvation, amen and amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie as we close this morning. Bless your day. Join us for fellowship.